Hey, Potters. Welcome to episode 282 of Cosplay Podcast for all things cosplay.
Hooray.
And stuff. Everything's on fire.
Yeah, literally.
Yes. Not our cosplays, thankfully.
No, I have not set anything on fire in quite some time. I'm very proud of myself.
But it definitely feels like it's on fire outside, and I don't think any of the cosplays I have would allow me to be comfortable outside no matter what it was.
Oh, man, I actually have to sit and think about that. No.
Like, even my bodysuit characters, which I have two of, still not enough.
No. It's just too hot.
And if you were to wear, like, a swimsuit, like a summer version of your characters, you would just get sunburned. You'd be cool, like, it would feel better, but then you would, the next day, end up all pink. And then it would hurt more.
It would just be me during my, okay, so this is exactly what I did when I went on my trip to Disney World, is I had my phone alert me every 90 minutes to stop and put on sunscreen.
Sunscreen.
I did not get burned that entire week that I was there, but oh boy, that was still a pain in the butt to have to stop and put on sunscreen every time, because if I didn't, it would have been bad.
You know, that's not a bad idea. And I would also add to that alarm and say hydrate.
Yes.
Make sure you're always drinking water. Or something.
With electrolytes.
Preferably mostly made of water.
Mm-hmm.
So fruit juices are okay. You know, Gatorade is okay. Powerade is okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just as long as it is majority water.
That's the key thing. Stay hydrated, because it is hot everywhere and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. And we know there's been a lot of cons over the last couple of weekends. So
Yes. Hopefully everybody has returned safely from those conventions without con crud, in good health, and with happy memories. That's what we always wish for all of y'all when you go to conventions. And for ourselves. Not going to leave ourselves out. All right. Speaking of conventions, unfortunately, I don't have any cosplay.
Oh, okay.
I fully admit I needed to take a week and a half off of cosplay because I had other stuff that just had to be attended to.
Sure.
So I have done next to nothing on my costume.
And that's fine.
But, you know, sometimes that's necessary, and I will get back on the train this weekend.
So I guess this is just a me time then.
Yes.
It's all about me. And I don't really I don't have much to share because it's very simple and straightforward, but I think the painting on my book is pretty much done, aside from the dumb bird things that I still don't know what I'm going to do with them. So, voila! Ta-da!
Nice!
I got actually the weathering done about an hour ago.
Yeah, I like the antiquing.
Yeah, it looks really nice. I'm very happy with how it is. I've even did it in between the pages too, so that way you get to see the pages if you happen to see the book from the side. I'm happy with how this turns out. I'm still debating on if I want to do another wash of gold on the key part. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it sit overnight, and I'll know first thing in the morning, like, okay, do I want to spend another 5 minutes or just go ahead and shellac the whole thing and seal it? So I'll know for certain. But yeah, this thing is pretty much done. And so are all the other components, except for the dumb bird things. That's a tale all on its own, and I don't know what to do with them. I think it's going to be the same as the papercraft method, where I just layer stuff on top and then use foam clay to kind of smooth out the edges and then hope for the best. My sandwiching method looked like crap. My sculpting method looked like crap, which is weird because I've used this foam clay before, so I know how to work with it, but it's just not working with me. So it's just like, okay, how do I make this fit without going out and buying more materials? Because that's the whole point of this particular project, was to use stuff I already have. That's why this whole thing is made out of foam. Yay. Right. So yeah, there's a much better picture of this on my Instagram and Facebook page. So if you follow those, you'll see a much, much, much better picture. The webcam can only show so much, but this is looking pretty nifty and I'm happy with it. I'm curious on how much this thing weighs, because I don't think it's even close to 1.5 pounds. I would be surprised, but I have no way of weighing it, so I don't know. But I'd be curious.
Are you gonna do it? You gonna do a tutorial on the wash?
A little late now.
Yeah, but you remember how you did it, so you could do like a rando example that you're not going to obviously use on your book.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't done a washing tutorial or dry brushing. I've just done like an overview of the process, right, but not actually gone into the details of it. So that might be something right to put on the future. Yeah.
Because it looks really good. And
thank
I think you should.
Yeah. I just wish that the webcam picked it up a little bit better, but my phone camera picks it up amazingly well. In person, it's right very cool because you get the little details of the hieroglyphics. That was my main thing, was just right making sure you could see the darn hieroglyphics. And I do love how blank the back is. The back is supposed to look like this. And I'm like, that's funny that they put nothing on the back. It's all about this.
I can tell that you have very few layers of paint on the back.
Yeah!
Because I can see the blank spots and the brush strokes in it.
Yep. It's quite funny. So there we go.
It just goes to show that, you know, when you're painting a prop, that you need to pay attention to the details.
Yes.
And it takes many, many, many layers.
So many layers.
For it to be proper. Like, you can't just paint two layers and then just get away with it. It shows how much effort you put into your props. And clearly, like, looking at the front and sides of yours, you've put in amazing amounts of effort into it because it all looks so good.
The back still needs
you
another
can see
layer.
The difference. Yeah, you can see the difference.
The back still needs another layer, and I'm fully aware of that. It's part of the process. It was just like, oh, let me go ahead and wash
okay
it now. It's fine.
Like, no blame or criticism being laid. Just making a point to the potting audience that, you know, we can see the effort you put into
your
cosplays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can tell how many times you've done something or haven't done something. And especially with foam, foam absorbs paint like crazy. So you think you only need two or three layers, you double it.
Double it.
Double it, because it takes so much out. Oh, my Lord. I think for the toggles, the gold paint, I know I used it three different times, three different types mm-hmm of gold paint, and it was after three layers of black paint. So like, oh, and the black paint is still showing through, but that's intentional. It's meant to look a little bit aged and ancient. So yeah.
You can get away with fewer layers of paint if you seal the foam first.
Yes.
With something like Hexflex or Mod Podge, or even just, you know, Elmer's glue if it's watered down. But even then, it takes more than one coat of that to seal the foam, because you're filling in a bunch of holes.
Exactly.
And it takes like two or three layers to fill in the holes. Then you paint over it.
And then you want to seal that paint.
Yep.
So it's like, this is like a layer of Hexflex, lots of paint, more Hexflex.
Yep. And it doesn't even count any weathering that you do, which is additional layers of paint.
Which is additional layers. And actually what I did was I sealed the top first before I did the weathering, because it was going to be wet. I didn't want to accidentally strip away some of the black that was already existing. So I was like, let me seal it first, and then I'll do the weathering on top of that. So everything's a little bit smoother and even. Yeah.
Yes.
Hexflex is very gluey smelly. It's great, but it's very gluey smelly.
All adhesives are smelly. I will say this because I found out, as I've been slowly sitting and gluing the portions of my corset down, which I will tell you is very hard to glue something that is 2D down against something that is 3D.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. And I'm using Craft Bond, because Craft Bond is flexible, so that when it dries, you can still bend it and wear it like a human being, like a 3D human being.
Like a real person.
And I was trying to like put glue down on the back for my next piece, and nothing was coming out. And then I went and I looked inside. I had to open up the bottle, and then the smell just wafted out at me. And now that whole area smelled like Craft Bond, which is terrible.
Yep.
And it was all gunked up inside. And it's because the heat is doing terrible things to my glue, to the mixture. It's making it separate. And so I'm getting all of this like junk at the top, and then this really thin liquid at the bottom. So I actually ended up having to go buy a whole new thing of Craft Bond.
That's fun.
And I tried putting water in the other one to try and break up some of the gunk at the top and like get it to recombine into glue effectively. If that doesn't work, I'm gonna have to throw it out. But man, does that stuff
It stinks. You know, at least Hexflex isn't as overpowering as some of the other adhesives I smelled. Like, doing the rubber cement on this, I forgot how And I'm just thinking, man, as a kid, they would have us have all around that rubber cement like it was no big deal. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine how many of those fumes have damaged some brain cells over the years.
The Elmer's glue, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Which I don't recommend anybody ever try adding, like, nicely scented liquids to their adhesives.
Oh.
Like, if you have essential oils, don't try putting it in the adhesive. One, it changes the chemical composition of the adhesive and it may not work as well.
Yes.
Or it might work too well. One of the two.
Yeah.
And two, it masks a smell that is actually telling you something is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So you may end up being around it longer than you should or closer than you should. And that smell is supposed to be a warning to your body. So you don't want to mask that. Yeah. Please don't inhale your adhesives. They're all toxic. Every single one of them. Even the ones that are named non-toxic or labeled non-toxic.
They're still toxic.
Probably shouldn't be around them that long.
They're still toxic.
Yeah.
The joys of having a masks and respirators.
That's one thing that you should definitely invest money in is a good respirator. Don't skimp out on that.
But yeah.
All right.
That's my...
We actually have some additional updates for the podcast.
Yeah, so that's over with my cosplay update. So for quick cospod update is I managed to get a code for Blue Sky, so now we're on Blue Sky, the alternate to the Bluebird app. Yay! I know that it's still currently invite only, and the only way that you can view our feed is you have to be logged in, so you have to have an account. So I know that we're going to slowly get followers, and it's going to take some time, but if you happen to be on it, please start following us at Cospod and we'll follow you back. We actually have our moniker Cospod open for once. Hooray. That's never happened before. So yeah, I will be adding it into our notes and stuff quite yet. It is on our link tree and I have shared it around, but eventually it'll start to get incorporated probably down into our slide here. So hooray.
Yeah, you may gradually seeing us get more active on there just as we get things settled into the platform and as we kind of determine where best to spend our time in all of the 10,000 social platforms that we're on.
Right. So, yeah. And yes, Starman, I went ahead and signed up for it after going through their terms of service, reading what they do, what they don't do, and just making sure it was a good fit for us and that we can actually stay active on it. I was like, you know what? Let's go ahead and jump on in. This should be fine. You know, I know right now there's no API that lets us kind of like cross post. So that is something that's still going to be a little slow for us, but it's another avenue to reach out. So there we go. That's it.
Now we're on the other blue app.
Yeah, the other blue app. And under our official moniker, which that was the part that I was like, oh, yay, I can reserve Cospod. I'm happy.
All of this after we couldn't ever get Cospod.com because somebody was squatting on it and still is.
It still is for an ungodly amount of money that we're never going to pay.
Cospod is worth $3,000.
No.
We're never going to ask you all to donate money like that to the show.
No, ever. No, thank you. As long as we can keep our web hosting fees up, we're cool. We're fine.
Yeah. All we have to do is just fund our web hosting and that's it.
And that's it.
No ads, no other profits coming in.
Nope.
And it will always be that way as long as we have control over it. All right.
Topic.
Indeed. Let us move on to happier topics. For those who were listening to us at the tail end of last episode, we all told you to please make sure that you all sign up for Nico Nico accounts, but you're not a sponsor of the show. They're simply the ones who broadcast the World Cosplay Summit,
woo,
which was last weekend.
Which was last weekend. At very early aught in the morning, and oh
yes.
Lord. Though thankfully it seemed like their YouTube, I don't know about their Twitch stream, but their YouTube stream, you could actually watch it for a little bit of time afterward. I don't know if it's still active. I don't want to go check because then I immediately close the window and I can't record anymore. So
I can tell you as of an hour ago it was.
Okay, good. Yay. I'm glad to hear that because they're usually very protective of such things, and I think they're finally understanding. Mm-hmm. This is the 21st century. People need instant access to that media and they want to watch it at their own time, at their own convenience. So good Good for them. Thank you, WCS.
Indeed. And for those who have not yet seen it, I would highly encourage you to sign up on the official site and try and get that time-delayed viewing just in case it's not still up on YouTube or Twitch by the time y'all hear this recording.
Spoiler because we,
indeed, we would like you all to be able to watch these as we're talking about them. Or at least once you've heard the review to go and see for yourselves and make your own decisions. Because obviously we're not going to tell you what to think. These are just all of our opinions. And everything that we are about to say is all meant as constructive criticism. We're not going to bash any country.
Oh, no.
We're not going to throw anyone under the bus. We're not going to bring down anyone or any part of the competition. All of this is constructive.
Absolutely, 100%.
And we have very copious notes, both of us, because we watched it separately. We didn't watch this together.
We didn't watch it together.
So neither of us actually knows what the other is going to say for this episode yet.
Which is funny.
We haven't shared our notes.
At one point, I did text Amber and was like, it would have been funny if we watched this together.
Yes. But then we would have ended up soapboxing for probably a few hours.
I also said to her in the text, I think she would have gotten annoyed with me because like after like the third or fourth skit, I would be in talkie mode the whole time. I would be so disruptive. I would be that person in the movie theater who would be like, you need to shut up or get out.
This is like that friend in the movies that's always sitting there and like going through and like breaking down what's going on in the movie and criticizing choices that the producer has made for the movie because you're such a big nerd that you know how it actually should have been and you can't help but talk about it during the movie.
Hi, it me. Okay, so in fairness, I only do that if I get really bored in a movie. Like, if I get totally pulled out of it, then I'm like, this sucks. I'm going to point out all the things are wrong with it, but this is also 12 plus years of film criticism and theory that have been shoved into my head that I paid $100K for. So that's kind of the result. Okay, so WCS stuff.
Yes.
I guess we should start with by saying that it was 33 countries this year. I didn't see if they had in one of the other events going on, if they had like their newbie countries. Because usually what they'll do is they'll bring a couple of countries who are considering joining in WCS in to provide their own skits and stuff. And I didn't see it attached to the main show this year. So I don't know if maybe it was on different areas of the broadcast.
I didn't see it in the day one stream.
I didn't either.
And I did not see it in the parts of the day two stream that I watched. Now, granted, I'll admit, I did fast forward through a lot of day two.
I did too, but nothing popped out to me that said, you know, here are potential joining countries for the future.
Right.
But anyway, there are 33 countries. Mm-hmm. They broke it out into six groups this year. It was fully in person. There was no video category, which made me a little sad because I genuinely enjoyed the video category, but that's fine. That's fine. The first question I wanted to ask you was, out of all of the series of animes, mangas, and video games that were there, how many of those do you think you have seen or have played?
Let me scroll briefly through the list because I actually jotted down what each country did for their skit.
Because I think I'm only at four, maybe five, but I think it's just four.
Are you counting if I am aware of them and have not actually seen the full series, or do I have to have seen the whole thing?
Seen the whole thing. Because Legend of Zelda is on there twice. I have not played a Legend of Zelda game all the way through, so I didn't count that for myself. I know of Legend of Zelda, and I know how it works.
If I count like Legend of Zelda as a whole, then there are games I have played all the way through. But if you want the specific Zelda that they did, I can't count that because I haven't played
that. Yeah, because I didn't count those for me.
I'm up to three at the moment.
And the reason I'm asking this is because I felt like a lot of the skits this year relied very heavily on the audience having experienced the content.
Four total.
Yeah, because I felt like a lot of it for me, I was very lost and very confused unless I had played or watched or been involved in the thing.
I actually made the note on several of these can't tell what the story is.
Yes.
Because something that you have to think about generally whenever you're doing a skit or theater,
mm-hmm.
not just WCS, but just generally.
In general.
You have to keep in mind that not all of the audience is going to know the story you're portraying. And so you have to be very cognizant,
mm-hmm.
and you also kind of have to like overemphasize the story like a lot to make sure that they understand this is the story I am trying to tell. Because those who already know the story already know it, but those yeah. who don't know are going to have no clue if you're subtle. Yeah. And a lot of these skits were
very subtle,
more subtle than we might have liked for not knowing the story.
Yeah, I could definitely tell by the winners that were chosen. They were the stories that were very simple, but very effective. It was mm-hmm. very clear of what the beginning, the rising action, the climax, and the finale was within those two and a half minute skits. Like, you could clearly see the thought progression, and you didn't have mm-hmm. to know what the source material was to understand it.
Right. And even some of these for which I know the series, even if I haven't watched it all the way through or played the game all the way through,
sure.
even if I'm kind of just
familiar,
generically aware of the plot, you still really have to overemphasize it because you only have 2 minutes to tell the story,
mm-hmm.
which is really condensed.
It's really short.
And so you're basically given enough time for one scene.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to like tell that story of the scene really well. And some groups just simply did it better than others.
Yep. That's what it comes down to. I think altogether, I counted that two skits had no dialogue, and funny enough, those are the two skits I really liked. And three did not have fights. So basically the theme I wrote down was dialogue, 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 fighting, dialogue. And that was basically it throughout the whole time through, which made it very challenging to watch at times.
Yeah.
Because you have to think about translations. If they're translating from their native language into Japanese and English, well, words don't always mean the same thing and the same connotation with the same emotion and feelings and nouns and pronouns and adjectives and adverbs and verbs across the spectrum. So trying to get things mm-hmm. translated properly was also another layer of difficulty for the story to make sense.
I think for a good three quarters of these, they were either fights
yes.
or dance.
It wasn't as much dancing as I thought there was going to be.
Not all of them were, but a very large portion were either the fighting trope or a dance trope.
Or it was like a fighting that was more of a dancey trope.
That was going to be the second thing I mentioned, is that this happens in movies too.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching a scene, but the scene is performed so awkwardly that it takes you out of reality for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up focusing more on the awkwardness than you do the scene.
On the scene, yeah.
It's very frustrating as a viewer because I want to appreciate it for what I know they're going for. But it's done so weirdly that the weirdness takes more of my attention. And
yeah.
I noted that on several of the fighting scenes and the dances.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it was very gingerly done. And I know that it's not just WCS, for cosplay contests in general, the general rule is like half speed, a quarter strength
mm-hmm.
whenever you do fight scenes. And that's to prevent people from getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fight at full speed like you would in a movie, and you can't fight with full strength in case you accidentally hit somebody. But when you have that restriction, you really have to choreograph it well to make it look good at half speed, quarter strength.
Sure.
You still have to make it look real as much as you can, obviously. And some groups were more successful at that than others.
Yeah.
And for those who weren't as successful, it was almost like they were timid. They were afraid of hitting each other. And so they were so ginger and slow about it that it took me out of the viewing experience.
Mm-hmm. Or there was just much space between them, or it just didn't right. really work very well with their video background. So it just kind of
That's
like,
what I meant by gingerly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, some of them I did note that they were off-timed with their SFX
on
the backdrop.
Which I tried to be like, forgive them. I tried to forgive them on that because we understand timing can sometimes be a thing, but it's also good to kind of keep an eye on your video too. Like, oh, shoot, I'm half a step late and find a way to catch up.
Right. It would be really neat if teams in the future could have visual cues that they look for in their video.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have like a forest backdrop scene and you know that you're about to have a blast come through, like have a butterfly float by and you're just like, okay, I see the butterfly, 2, 1, blast.
Yeah.
And that way you have that cue so that you can count down in your head and you know where you are. Musicians do the same thing. They listen for musical cues and then it's like, okay, I have 4 bars, 3, 2, 1, go. It would be neat if they could do that because I think it would help with some of those timing issues.
I will say on the whole, the incorporation of both the video and the audio has definitely improved every single year. It's so much cooler to have that type, that extra layer of interaction. I know it's more work for the cosplayers because it's so much stuff to think about since they're the ones who have to edit it and put it all together. But just that extra layer of fun really helps enhance a lot of those performances.
And those who incorporated the video into the physical movement itself made so much more of an impact than those who just used the video as a backdrop.
Particularly Mexico. Mwah. So good.
I made notes on a few different ones.
But it's also Mexico. Mexico always does really good.
Yeah. In fact, I also made the notes on the Netherlands. They also did a really solid integration of the backdrop into the scene itself.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like as if it was a painted sheet in the back. They actually interacted with it, which really makes it cool.
Mm-hmm. Latvia did the exact same thing with their Legend of Zelda skit too. It was really nice to see.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I guess, do we want to tell what the awards are and go over those really quick before we go into any other individual stuff?
Sure.
Okay, so this is how my list is. I'm going to go from, I don't think it's necessarily in order, but first through third.
Yeah, my list is in the order they performed, not in the order they were awarded.
Yeah, I've got two lists. So the Alumni Award went to Latvia. The Samurai Energy Award, which is the best action sequence, that went to Indonesia. The Nagoya University Award, which is Best Drama, went to Vietnam. The Animix Music Award, which is Best Sound, that went to Belgium. And I wanted to make a note about Belgium. The one thing that I think the reason why they got this was that their dialogue audio was very crisp, very clear, very clean. It didn't get overpowered by any of the sound effects or the music. And I was like, that's probably why they won, because it was just so clean. And it almost sounded like an anime dub. It was very nice.
I made a note to that effect.
Yep.
This looks like something out of Animal Crossing, and it had the same sound.
Yep. The Brother Award, which is Best Costume, that went to the United Kingdom. And even though I couldn't see those up close, they looked very nicely well-detailed costumes.
I did. They really were. You couldn't really tell, and I actually noted that. Watching the skit, you couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell. It's
just
really
hard
to see.
How elaborate it was.
Because you also have a back. You're just like way far back, like you're in the audience. You can't see these things up close.
They had one close-up shot from the camera,
which was
but
weird.
It was like, and I noted that too, because most of them have a fixed camera where you just get the entirety of the stage and the camera doesn't move.
Yep.
But they had one close-up shot from the beginning, but it was shoulders up, so you couldn't see most of the costume below it until the awards ceremony, and then you had a chance to really see the detail, and it was very detailed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I made notes of that too.
Right. So, Akon Award. Okay, so this I have to point out because this made me giggle. I was not aware that conventions could sponsor WCS.
They can now.
They can. And apparently, according to one of our friends who was in WCS, they said, yeah, they've been able to sponsor for a long time. Usually it's just little things here and there to help kind of pay for like foods and lodging and stuff like that. Usually it's not a big prize where it's like, oh, they're a sponsorship for an award. So this is the first time that she's aware of that a convention did that. And actually two conventions did that. So it was like, oh, okay. So Project Akon here in good old Dallas, Texas, sponsored for Best Armor, and that went to Portugal. And I give a thumbs up on that one as a Final Fantasy 14 fan. Yeah, that Dragoon armor was pretty boss. And he moved very well in it. So, you know, that one's good. The next one was from a company called Four More Cutlery. And it's called Best Joy. And what it means was the best joy of cosplaying, whatever that may mean. That went to Brazil. Mm-hmm. The Holiday Matsuri Award, which is the Cultural Exchange Award, that went to Korea. Mm-hmm. All right. And then the top three, third place was Mexico. Second was Latvia. First was United Kingdom.
Yep. And I think Val and I both disagreed with those placements. I mean, we can always go into our choices and why later on, but just to say that we did not agree with the judges.
Yeah.
I actually agreed with the alumni.
I was actually 100% with the alumni award, but I'm glad that they still got second place though. So, I mean, they definitely deserved being in top three.
Yes. If they had not been top three, I would have been very disappointed.
It would have been very confusing given how well they utilized all of their props, how they utilized the video, how great they really embodied the characters, and they told a very solid story without too much dialogue. They made it very straightforward, so it was easy to follow. Anybody could jump into it. You didn't have to have played any of the Zelda games to get what was going on, so that was nice.
Right.
Very nice costumes.
And I wrote down neat use of following spotlight for tension.
Yes. I wonder how they coordinated
not
that.
Every group did that, right? Because clearly they had coordinated with the team behind the scenes for that.
Yeah. And you're allowed to have your own lighting set up for WCS. Yes. Like, you can tell them how you want things programmed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some groups just had entirely darkened scenes for almost the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But that made it really hard to see their costumes. And I noted that. Anytime a group had a darkened scene, it's like, yeah, great ambiance, but I can't see your costume. I
can't see your costume, and I felt so bad.
I also jotted down solid overacting for Latvia, because again, you have to really get that story across in large gestures. Since you're not allowed to speak live, you have to have recorded dialogue, the whole thing. So getting that across is difficult sometimes, especially... If you're an introvert and you're on stage and you think you're overacting, you're not.
You're not. You need to do
more. You need to do twice as much. Just like when they do makeup for the theater. If you think it looks too much, it's not.
It's not enough. You got to do more.
Double up. Right. You have to really push it. And then I also wrote, this is what I'd expect from a virtual entry. And I meant video entry.
From a video entry, yeah.
Like we had seen in the past. Looks so 3D. Og, let this one win. And I wrote it exactly like that.
I think definitely with the overacting, because they really made sure that Link did not speak, which is great. Link never speaks in the game, so he should not be speaking. He should not have dialogue. So they really had to
basically just grunts.
And then it's funny. Maybe sometimes make some battle noises like, ah, and that's about it. But the fact that the cosplayer really overacted and amped it up kind of helped add to the performance. That was very much needed.
Right. And it was all very serious. There were...
Yeah.
Basically, there were two groups of skits. There were the ones that were very serious, and then there were the ones that were very campy.
Mm-hmm.
And very over-the-top, meant to be ha-ha funny comedy.
Germany was my favorite on that one.
And some of them did better at each category than others, because some tried to be serious, but it didn't really...
Come out that way? Yeah, it was like it was trying a little too hard that it was like, you gotta pull it back.
It was very, like, pull back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that tried to be funny were either way over the top generally, like trying too hard to be funny, or didn't quite make it there all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not funny enough. And it's a really hard line to walk in WCS.
It really is. Especially since you're doing it to an international audience. What might be funny to you or to your country may not be funny to a world audience.
Exactly. And sometimes you're trying to do a funny scene in a serious story.
Yes.
Because I know I made notes on a couple of these, like, this comes off so corny, it's like a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Okay, maybe that might be a little too much towards the comedy end of things. Maybe bring it back just a little bit for a better mix.
Sure, yeah.
I also, this is just kind of a funny aside for props. I guess everyone uses the same death streamers. Whenever they have a death scene or a fighting scene where they were injured on WCS, obviously you can't use real blood and you can't use liquid fake blood like you would in the theater.
Or throw glitter around or something.
Right. You can't, you have to take everything off stage with you, and you only have something like 2 minutes to get everything off
I don't
stage
even
with
think
you.
it's that long. Even with helpers, it's like they got a minute flat and go.
Right. And so whenever you have what's supposed to be wounds or death, everybody uses the same
Streamers!
pop streamer
I don't
that
know who
comes out
started it.
of the person.
Some country started it years ago, and now everybody's on
Right.
that train.
Every single country that does it uses the exact same streamer, which made me laugh every time I saw it too. And it kind of took me out of the scene just a little bit, like, there it
There
goes.
goes. I understand the reasoning for it, though. It's creative.
Right.
It makes it easy, but it's also like, oh, that's funny.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, for me, just in general, the skits that I liked the most are two of them did not have any dialogue, and one of them only had, like, it was comical fighting, which was Germany's, and the other one was Netherlands.
Right.
And I liked those because the stories were so easy to follow. You didn't have to worry about being bogged down by all of this miscellaneous information about the world that they're living in and to understand that what's going on. Like, one of them's a love story. Great. You get perfect. One of them is literally about a food fight. Great. Perfect. I get it. Those are such universal concepts that you don't have to embellish on them. You can just let things flow naturally and really showcase your acting talent as well as the cosplays. And I think that's the key thing. So for me, those were the two skits that stuck out, as well as Mexico, which, as much as I hate Final Fantasy VII right now, and I have to say, the way that they incorporated their video work was really well done. They were on time on everything. In truth, that might be the nicest Cloud Soldier costume I have ever seen. And I have seen so many of those things in my lifetime, and it's unbelievable. I was really impressed with the quality of the work. So, yeah. And then laughing out
I
loud, yeah, it's
wanted
just
to
great.
note the ones that don't have dialogue are so much harder to like hit that same level of quality because you don't have the dialogue to tell the story. And you really only just have the music and your gestures. And so you don't only have to overact, which you do normally, but you have to overact to an extent that the audience doesn't even need words to tell them what's going on. Because usually the words will at least help you if you don't understand the gestures, because this is an international audience after all. And so it's that much harder. And we've seen efforts in the past that maybe weren't as good as they could have been, that had no dialogue. Or maybe the music choice could have been better because the music in no dialogue skits has an even bigger impact than it does in the standard skits, which, speaking of music, some of the groups had better choices than others where it came to the music in their skit. And music has a very large role in setting the ambiance of your skit. So no matter how much acting you do, no matter what your dialogue says, no matter what your costumes look like or the lighting, probably the biggest impact on your skit is going to be what you hear in the background. And it has to match the story you're trying to tell. And if it doesn't, the audience will feel it.
They will definitely feel it.
And again, some groups made better choices than
And
others
others.
because there were some groups where I was just literally writing dot 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 because I had no words for the musical choices that were made that did not necessarily match what I was seeing on screen. And it's like, okay, I get why you might have chosen that, but it may not have been the best choice for that particular scene or that particular section, yeah, as it were.
And I don't know what the restrictions are for the music with this, because right. It seemed like they could use whatever that they wanted, because I heard a great mixture of a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the restrictions are, unfortunately. And if there are restrictions, I'd be interested in finding out. So maybe that kind of limited their scope mm-hmm. on what could or could not be used. But it didn't sound like it, that's for sure.
They may have had some copyright restrictions because this was being broadcast live over Twitch and YouTube, remember?
Sure.
So it's possible that because many of these would have come from copywritten shows and games that they just couldn't use the original audio that would have gone over that scene. I get it. I understand. No criticism there. Again, this is all constructive.
Mm.
Just there's enough open source material out there that I think some could have been better. More fitting for yeah. what they were trying to get across.
Yeah. I know that's part of the reason why they limit the series options. It has to be Japanese media only because mm-hmm. the event takes place in Japan. It's easier for them to work through the copyright and licensing issues mm-hmm. versus if you were just to pull from any source from anywhere, then you got to deal with hundreds of other countries and all of their laws and all of that nonsense on top of your event, and it's just not worth it. So I understand from that point of view.
Sure. I did make a special note on Spain, which did the Naruto.
Yes!
The parody of Mulan.
I don't know how they got away with that.
I literally wrote, can they get this on copyright violation for the theme?
I was like, is Disney going to be okay with this? Like, did they change the tone? I was
very concerned about Disney, actually. Because they changed the lyrics.
Oh, absolutely. It's 100% changed.
They sang it in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely changed the lyrics. But the tune was the same. And I was sitting there just going, please don't let Disney strike this YouTube. Please don't let Disney strike this YouTube. Because I was afraid they were going to cut the stream for copyright because of the tune.
And I'm hoping that because of parody laws, at least here in the U.S., even though it was streamed in Japan, it should allow it to go through cleanly. It should, in theory, but it's also Disney.
Right.
You don't mess with the mouse.
Right. I wasn't sure, and I was just kind of on pins and needles as they were doing the skit. Like, I appreciate it. I get what you're trying to do, but it's the mouse.
I was like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah. They're very protective of their IP.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes. I'm looking through my notes on more of these, and I actually jotted down on multiple of these. Larger costume makes it harder to act, need bigger gestures.
Yes.
Some of the costumes were what would be in the large category, which is to say like mechs and puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So just very large, like monster costumes where it's obviously larger than the human inside of it. And it's right. padded or it's extended out so that it is a very wide space that you're having to cover. And you mentioned this about the armor, that you have to take into consideration that the person inside the costume still has to be able to move. And not only move, but overact still. You still have to give those really large gestures to make it come across. And it gets a lot harder the more padding and the larger a costume is, because you're restricted in your movements unless you plan for that and you make everything segmented so that the arms and the legs can still move gracefully. And I noted on multiple of these that perhaps they could have put more thought in that direction of making sure that the person inside can still get their story across, because a lot of the larger costumes were very stunted.
Yeah, very restricted in their movement, and you just didn't have the easy flow that you could have. Because we've seen it before with Team Australia when they did their Monster Hunter skit years ago, like fantastic, mm-hmm. big, bulky armor pieces, and they were able to jump and roll and move without any problem whatsoever. They mm-hmm. they thought about how do we need to function and move in these pieces so that it not only looks great, but we can do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that you have to be able to somersault or do martial arts tricks. We're not saying you have to do that. You just need to be able to give large gestures, because most of the time when you have the larger costumes, they're for fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to show like monster fighting, then you need very large claw swipes or swinging of swords or whatever it is that you're doing, you need to be able to make those large movements.
Otherwise, it just looks very slow and stunted, and it doesn't give a nice natural grace to it that you would expect. Right.
It's a little harder to see the story, because if you remember at the beginning when we started talking about the awkwardness part, whenever you have somebody who's effectively fighting like T-Rex style, it looks awkward and it kind of takes you out of the realism for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I know is not what they wanted.
I was looking this up because I wanted to make sure I got the year correctly. One of our friends who was our WCS USA representative in 2015, Alpaca Ash, she has a panel with her WCS cohort. And we have it on our YouTube channel, by the way. You can watch it. And she says you should always act like a Muppet. You need these big, ridiculous, oversized movements so everybody can see you. You're going to feel silly and stupid doing it, but you get your point across so much better by doing these huge Muppet-like motions. And it's really important to think about that when you're doing any type of skit. And you have to incorporate that into your costume too.
Remember that the camera that's filming you is probably a good 200 feet, if not more, away. The camera's not going to see the large movements, and neither will the people watching on stream. Because bear in mind, they can only fit like a few hundred people in the arena where they're filming live, the WCS. Everyone else is watching on a stream with a tiny screen on YouTube or Twitch. They're not going to see your tiny movements. You want them to see when you're streaming.
The bigger, the better, the sillier you feel, the better.
Yes, and it will feel silly, I promise you.
But that's how you know you're doing it right.
Exactly. It looks great on film or on stream.
Right.
Yes. I did make a short note, and this is more for the folks that actually do the filming or have the camera instructions. Warn about strobing.
Oh, yes.
Those who are photosensitive did not get a heads up, and a lot of skits had very intense strobing sequences. And I had to look away. I could not watch. And it's like, if you know in advance that your skit is going to have strobe, please have them put something on the placard where they announce what skit your team is doing when they have your character names. Just have a little warning on the bottom that says, warning, has strobing. And that way, those of us like me can prepare for it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying take it out. Mm-mm. Just let us plan for it.
I think that's something that needs to be addressed WCS as a whole. Just something that they need to incorporate with every skit. Like, hey, do you have any type of effects that could be an issue for photosensitive audiences?
Yes. And also, I say this every year. Please subtitle your presentations. And that's also for the WCS. It's not for the skits, because the skits are already subtitled. But because the hosts are reading from a script, it would be really helpful if that portion was subtitled. I understand that they can't subtitle what the judges are saying.
Sure.
Because that's live in real time. But if they're reading from a script, you know what you're going to say in advance. Please add subtitles for your international audience.
That would be nice. Because they only do it in Japanese and English. That's it.
Right. And a lot of the announcer talking is in Japanese. Yeah, that would help. I also jotted down as a general WCS thing, award announcers, step up to the mic, please. We can't hear you at all. Because when they did the award presentation, I guess they had preset the mic to a weird height.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were a lot taller than the mic, but they would just kind of talk down at the mic instead of putting themselves up to the mic or moving the mic stand up, because you have to talk really close to the mic to be able to hear what they're saying, regardless of the language. We just couldn't hear. And I couldn't even hear like which country won some of the awards until the announcers repeated it. And they had it flashed up on the big backdrop
screen. Yeah, on the big screen.
Because I couldn't hear. And it's like, I want to hear what you're saying. And they even asked for reactions too. And I also couldn't hear those. It's like, I want to hear what you're saying, but you have to talk into the mic.
It's one of those where it's like the handheld mic would have been a much better option.
Yes. Yeah, those were just my overall WCS notes.
There's just so many on the individuals. Which ones were your favorites?
Latvia was number one. Netherlands was number two. In fact, I wanted them to win one, two, because they had such solid integration of that backdrop again. They also included puppetry, which is, again, very difficult to do with
Very
those
difficult.
wide movements and such. They did include the transformation trope, and I actually missed originally how they did it. And I literally wrote a note in all caps. How did I miss that? And I went and rewound it and I watched it again.
Nice.
They did really good prosthetic work on Sophie.
They did.
Really good. You caught it even on camera.
It was really well done, and it's surprisingly, especially since you could catch it on camera, which means they put a lot of work into making sure that those divots were deep.
Yes. And it was a no dialogue skit, which bravo to them for doing that.
That made me so happy.
Yes. And number three for me was Chobits, Austria.
Really?
My first note was this was surprisingly effective despite very little action.
Yeah, and actually, that's the reason why I didn't like it as much, because the action was so limited. I appreciated the story and the message it was trying to convey, but it didn't, because of their lack of movement, I didn't get to see the costumes in their full glory.
Sure.
And I think that's the part that bothered me about it.
I think I had appreciated that between the music and the dialogue, that they actually really clearly got their story across without having to do much. So it was very effective. And I think that that was what got me the most, is because I'm so accustomed to the skits that just generally came before them may not have been as effective in getting the story itself across, even if I knew the story. Like, just this particular group was really good at that part. There was a lot of Bell. I don't know the series.
There was two of them, and they were back to
Yes, but
back.
Yaya was also dressed up
As
as Bell.
I don't know anything about the series. I know it's a
I
more recent-ish thing. I think it's supposed to be a Beauty and the Beast thing.
It is.
And I only
It's
know
a
that because of the
beauty.
first skit.
It's a Beauty and the Beast crossed with Dot Hack. It's an avatar in video game, and Belle and the Beast are the avatars.
That's okay. Sure,
It took me a while to get that.
I need to Google then, because I don't know. I just know the one dress that Yahya Han has, and I was like, oh, it's pretty. That's all I
I
know.
had to go look it up.
That's all I know.
I will give honorable mention to Germany.
It made me
And it, the
giggle
re
so much. I was so happy with it.
The reason is because I wrote, ah, it's a fight, but with shtick. It's the food fight scene from Ruby, basically, complete with breadsticks, swordfish, and chicken gauntlets.
Yes.
That was
I was very happy to see that. It made me very giggly. And the Walgreens receipt of doom.
Yes. And X, because that was one of the ones with no dialogue, I wrote, wait, does this really have no dialogue?
Yeah, it was a very clear story. You knew what was going on.
Yeah, it was. I expected dialogue to come in somewhere and it never did. And I was like, huh, all right. It didn't need it.
It didn't need it.
It was a little over the top for me, just a little. It was very, very shtick.
I loved it.
I
Give me
mean, it was
shtick.
cutesy, yes, but it was just a little over the top for me. What was the other one? The one with the rabbit and the llama. It was the one that had, it was Belgium because they had the audio.
Da da da
I have to go
da.
scroll through all my notes. Princess Connect, Redive, which I also don't know the series of, but that one was also cutesy, very slapstick comedy.
Yeah, and that's the one that got the sound award.
Yeah. So there were a couple that were like very shtick, very, very kitschy. Some of these I just didn't understand.
Yeah, and
Both
that
the series and the skit.
Yeah, because so many of these, and that was my biggest complaint, was that a lot of these really relied on you knowing the source material, but it's impossible for anyone to see every piece of media that exists out there. So you can't go into deep dives about character study and like these emotions and feelings that these characters have on episode 523, because we don't have time to watch that stuff. You got to be more generic and broad in your representation. Like the UK, like I haven't seen a single episode of whatever that was, but I got what was going Moggy. On.
I've seen nearly all of Moggy.
Yeah, I've seen the costumes in person multiple times, so I know what the series is. I haven't watched a single stinking episode, but their story was just like, okay, I get it. It didn't need to be fluffed up. It didn't need to be romanticized. It was just boom, 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 got it. It's very easy to follow.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to give serious props to Mexico. And the reason for that is this. The wig flew off. Oops. But the show must go on.
Yeah, he kept going.
He kept going.
Good
and
on him.
That takes guts. Like, normally, if you are in a cosplay competition and some part of your costume malfunctions, plenty of people, myself included, would panic. This person didn't. They simply took the wig off so it wouldn't get in the way, tossed it aside, kept acting.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo. Seriously. That's not criticism or sarcasm. Seriously. Well done. That's what you should do.
Yep. That wig must have had a heck ton of glue in it, because when they put it back on,
it
like it's like none of it budged.
Yes.
Perfect cloud stripe hair, just as much glue in there and you're good to go.
Yes.
They also had really good ripaways on that costume too. That was nice. Because there was one part where actually on Cloud's back where he gets hit with Sephiroth's sword, it rips away the back of his costume and you see like a slash of blood there and it's like, and skin. It's like, oh, good job. That's cool.
I noted a different part of that and I said, how is Cloud doing all of that while impaled? This is that suspension of disbelief thing.
It's a weird part of the story. It's a weird thing in the narrative.
I understand.
But I get you on that.
I was just amused. Like, man, I guess that sword is just not doing anything.
It's just there for show.
Pretty much. It's just there to make a point.
Ah!
Literally a point.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Yes.
Well, anything else that we want to wrap up with this? Other than congratulations to everybody for all their hard work, because we know that this is a challenge and there's so much going on, and you all deserve all the praise in the world for being up there and doing your thing, showcasing your craft, and I hope you guys had a wonderful time in hot ass Japan right now, because it was really fracking hot.
There was one other call out I wanted to make.
Sure.
And that's for Australia.
Oh, Australia's always a good joy.
That voice acting, though, reminds me of Tim Curry. That is a huge compliment. That was amazing voice acting work. And since the teams have to record their dialogue up front, that not everyone can just go hire voice actors to do it for them.
Exactly.
Or have friends do it. A lot of the time, it's the team members themselves doing the dialogue recording. And so when you have good voice acting work, it's just the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
It really like makes a skit. It doesn't hurt you if you don't have it, but it really makes a difference positively when you do.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to give them a call out. That VA work was amazing. So good.
Yeah. The only other call out that I have is Portugal, which won the Armor Award. I don't know what your narrative was, because it was very off kilter of what happens in the game. Cool beans, you do you. But your armor was fantastic and your stola was very nicely done, because I know that's a very difficult costume to put together. So good job for you too.
Yes.
All right.
Yep. Very well done
to
all of the competitors. You should take pride in all of that work and effort you put through. Even if you didn't win, you made it to the World Cosplay Summit.
Absolutely.
You just performed on stage in front of the entire world.
That's quite an accomplishment that very few people can say that they've done.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have those memories for the rest of your life.
Exactly. So I hope everybody returned home safely. You're all enjoying cooler temperatures. Hopefully.
Or if nothing else, some relaxation time after all of
Yes.
the frantic cosplay work and practice and things that you had to be doing.
Exactly.
Now you can just enjoy the cosplay. No, less pressure, no worries about performing and props and all that stuff. Yeah, so that is everything for World Cosplay Summit. So now we can look forward to next year.
Yay! A whole year of waiting for the next one
I
to
know.
arrive.
Although I'm sure the teams aren't thinking that way. The teams are thinking only 12 months until the next one. It's not long enough.
And I don't think people realize is that they have a series of events that they're doing the entire time that they're there. They do multiple cosplay things and they have to have new costumes for all of them. So it's a lot of work leading up to it, which is why the US schedule has shifted to do a 1 year lead up instead of a 1 month, because cramming so many costumes within a month beforehand and making any adjustments or edits to your skit and tweaking your costumes is just not enough time.
They
Give us
have
a
to bring a
year.
good 5 or 6 costumes each
Each.
with them because of all the different parades and cultural events and all the sorts of things that they do. Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun, but it's
It's a
still a lot
lot
of
of
work.
work.
Yep. So congrats to everybody, and we look forward to seeing the teams next year.
Absolutely.
Well, of course, if you would like to let us know what you thought was your favorite skit at WCS, or of course, if you would like to know maybe what you would do if you had the chance to go to WCS, what skit would you do? Feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber. Has not changed. Probably won't change. So there you go. For those who are listening, visit us on cosplay.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast, and currently on Blue Sky as CosPod. That's going to be weird to say.
And of course, if you would like to contact us via email, you can reach us podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us along with curated Nick Cage memes.
They have been recently refreshed. Enjoy.
Otherwise, we will see you next time in episode 283. Take care, stay healthy, everyone. Happy cosplaying. See you next time.